Let's welcome Pastor John Waring.
Well, I'm excited for the new pastor that'll be coming next week to possibly be here as your pastor. That has been my prayer and my wife's prayer since we came here that first Sunday and way back last July. And I realize that's almost a year ago we started coming and ministering here. So I feel like I'm part of you already. So I love you folks. Hope that I've been able to share with you some of God's treasures. This sermon that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning has been on my heart for over a month and a half. Way back, let's see, I think it was March, is when I shared with you about being transformed by the power of God in the renewing of your mind. Over the last 4 years, I've been writing a book, and it's pretty much in its final stages. Annette has been gracious and spending time in reviewing it and editing for me, and the book is getting past your emotional infection, getting rid of your emotional infection. And it's been on my heart for the long time, and I want to share with you some of the truths from that. Now, with that said, he said I just have to touch it. Whoa, okay. I don't usually use this. I've tried to on a pad about 6 years ago, and it was a really nice pad, but I was so frustrated with it because I'd lose my place or it'd shut down or something. So I went back to this, and maybe I'm just too old to get used to it. I don't know, but I'm going to try today because I do a lot of things on computer. What's that? I'm analog, thank you. That's a compliment. Because when everything else fails, guess what? Okay. But before we start, I want to just pray for you and have you join with me in prayer for next weekend. It's an important decision, bringing in a pastor. My wife and I just love it up here, and it's going to be kind of a, since we're not going to be there, you're going to have a new pastor, but I felt like I've been a part of you to help you in this transition time. But let's pray for this new pastoral family that's going to come in, and you'll be hearing from next week, talking with them, and then having a ratification vote at the end, that you'll be in one heart, one mind, one spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that when you vote, that you will know because it will confirm in your heart. Can we do that right now? Let's pray. Father God, I pray with this congregation right now. Next week is a very important week for the future of this church. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will bring a unison in heart across the board for every heart that will be hearing this new pastor, Lord. And that when it comes to time to ratify this pastor as their new pastor, that there will be a oneness of spirit. And they'll be looking forward to what you are going to do because the future is bright with Jesus as the head. Thank you, Lord. And we ask now, Lord, you will open the word to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So, there's a scripture, and I know, there we go. Would you stand with me? We're going to read this passage of scripture together. I do that in honor of the word, in respect to the word. So let's stand as we're going to read this kind of together, if we can. Can everyone see it? Okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's funny how we can start as little babies, and I saw a little guy right there. And as we start our lives, it's just all of wonder. For the last 6 months, my only grandchild so far was been a challenge. My son and daughter-in-law, the only time they can get away is really if Joyce and I come and visit them in their home, or they come and drop her off at our home. And it's been such an incredible experience to watch with that little baby, first sight of everything around them, and then watch as that little child sees things and all the surroundings. She had a rough start because she had a reflux problem, extreme reflux. So every time she drank from her bottle or her mom, because she was breastfeeding, every time she did that, it would be painful because the acid would come up from her stomach and cause pain, and she'd scream eating. It was really hard. She had a tough beginning in her life. So certain patterns have started in her life as a little child, because when you feed, it wasn't necessarily a comfort, because if she's not in the right position, she would react to it and she would scream. And you can understand that because it's pain. So when they would feed her, you had to hold her up like this in your arm and put a bottle like this. And it was just hard in my heart to see her cry. But watch with those eyes. They left her at our house. What was it in? It was in December when they went, wasn't it? They went up to Mount Rainier, and we're not too far from there where we live. And they left the little one at our house. So the little one, she would have this terror look in her face, or just pain, and I would go like this, "Happy baby!" And she would, it took me about four happy babies to finally when she would smile. And so if she started to get, when we fed her and she would have a meltdown, I would go, "Happy baby!" And it would stop. Because something changed. Instead of the negative, the pain, it was something that she could do. Because now she was smiling. And I give her a bottle, and boy, she'd tag onto it right away. During that time and that evening that they were just gone for overnight, but to them it seemed like they were gone forever because that new little baby, only 2 months old. But I'd take her in my office and I'd put her on my knee and I'd hold her and I'd kind of get the bouncing going. Anybody ever do that with your little ones? And I had the music playing on my computer and I played a computer game, but I had music playing, worship music. And she was just content to sit on my lap with Grandpa, happy baby. When we put her to bed, we had to kind of sit her up in her car seat. It was a detachable car seat. Because of this, you had to hold her for up to 20 minutes after she ate so that it would digest enough where she could lay down. But she slept in her car seat because laying down hurt. And even now, when you get her going, she would sometimes at the going down to bed because if she lay down, it would hurt. And so she's developed some patterns in her life. So going to sleep to her is a battle. But every single one of us has fought with certain circumstances and certain things that have happened in our life that were hurtful. Can anybody say amen? Now, if none of you said, one of you did not say amen, you're a liar, because we've all had hurtful experiences. Amen?
Amen.
Much better. So to understand that, how do we deal with these kind of difficulties? It's not easy. It's not easy being a child, experiencing all these new things. And I was just thinking, the last time we went down to San Diego, about 2 weeks ago, so mom and dad could have a vacation, and we were right next to them, so we took care of baby so they could get away for a dinner here or going out for a walk, whatever. So, happy grandpa. And I'd walk her in her stroller and down by the beach, because we were only about a half a block from the beach. We could see the ocean in front. By the way, anybody that tells me San Diego is warm all the time is a liar. I'm serious. It never got above 65 for 8 days we were there. In fact, it was warmer here every day than it was in San Diego. I had to come home to get warm. So, yeah, anyway. So when we have these different things, Scripture says this, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be, let me see, I don't have that one here. It's in my notes, so. You will be deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, for I have conquered the world. So Jesus never told us that it was just going to be like ice skates on ice going. Did he? He says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So with that said, I want to share with you a few of the traumas that may infect you or hurt you. All kinds of things, from relationships to physical discomfort, you name it, it's been there over the years. So the first kind of trauma I want to talk about, come on, there we go, is physical trauma and hurts. Now, physical trauma, when you've had that, you cut yourself or you break something or something else happens, the typical trauma process involves evaluating the damage, what has been affected, how extensive. You go to the doctor, that's what they do first. Okay? Secondly, they start establishing a course of treatment that is necessary to bring about restoration. Third, usually if it's a wound, they have to cleanse the wound and get rid of infection. Removal or eradication of invasive agents that might be there. And before healing can occur, the germs or other biological agents that hinder healing must be removed. That's important. If you have a splinter that's got inside of you and you don't remove it, you can put iodine and everything else on it or antibiotic lotion, whatever else on it. But if you don't remove the splinter, what's going to happen? Infection. An infection's not going to go away until you remove the item that's there. Antibiotics, drugs, other items to healing must be used to counter the infection, and possible additional damage that might be there is going to have to be addressed. Then there's repairing of the wound. Stitches, superglue, bandages, artificial skin or other items, all of that. And then the big one, if you've had a major trauma to your body, like my knee, where I tore the meniscus all apart. And even it's the tendon on the back of your knee. I partially tore that one. And so my leg was reacting to it. And I wasn't hardly able to use my leg. So what did I have to go through? Who said that? Say it again. Correct. I had a gal help me to get the use of my leg back. Do you think it was easy?
No.
It hurt sometimes. In fact, a lot of the times. And you stretch, and it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes time to get it back working again. Now, there's another kind of trauma. Is it coming up? There it is. Emotional trauma. Now, emotional trauma can happen by all kinds of things. Loss of a loved one. You can have conflict in a relationship. You can have all kinds of things that can cause emotional trauma in you. But it follows the same kind of process to restore from emotional trauma as you do with physical trauma. Diagnosis, evaluation of emotional and spiritual damage is not as easy, though, as physical trauma. While in some the effects are very evident, for others the effects are more subtle, they're dormant, but life-changing in the long run, on the long run. When I was a little kid, my grandparents lived in Tacoma, Washington, on a street there that's right off of Sprague, downtown almost. And I remember as a little kid, I think I was kindergarten or first grade, maybe second grade, maybe third grade, but right in there, I remember rolling down this huge hill. Man, it was big, and we rolled down this thing, got up and went up on top and rolled down again. Anybody ever have an experience like that? So in my mind, I saw this huge hill. Man, because I mean, rolling down this hill, it was a huge hill. Fast forward many years, my mom inherited the place, and my stepdad said, would you come over and look at the electricity? We need something done in the electrical part. And when I did that, they gave me the address, 1201 South Prospect Street, I think is the address. I still remember that. And I'm driving up to Prospect Street, and I kind of got off 12th, and I went up a little ways, and I couldn't find the house because I was looking for a what? And I looked on the house. I backed up, and I looked on the house, and there's 1201. And I remember the pear tree, and I remember some of the porch, but I was looking for that big hill. And when I got there, guess how big that hill was? It was the size of the platform from the floor. I'm serious. How tall was I? I was shorter than now, okay? And I would roll down that hill, and I was going like, how is that possible? That was a big hill. I knew it was because I, in my memory, viewed it from the perspective of which I did the action. You tracking with me? So there's a lot of events that happen in our life with emotional trauma is that we experience them from the perspective of where we are in age, in height, in physical status, everything else, from when that happened to us. You tracking with me? As a little kid, if someone was abusive physically or verbally, how would that look to a little child? That's kindergarten or pre-carden. How would you remember that? And if you were fearful, or if you were in terror, and that happens a lot in trauma. Annette, you've seen it. When that happens, we struggle with that memory because it's burned into our brains. Now, we're all born with a clean state. We've my little granddaughter, right there. But you see, all kinds of things happen when we're impacted by those events. Are we up there? Yeah. We're impacted by all those life events, and painful, hurtful, emotional events can therefore traumatize us. We learn to cope with our lives by examples that are shown to us. We learn to react to events in life in self-preservation of our age and the perspective of that and understanding at the time. So we react in whatever ways we have to cope with those. Those recorded events, the physical consequences to us, and our emotional and spiritual responses that we have are recorded as that age in time setting in our life. Future events are interpreted then in light of those past recorded events and feelings. Are you tracking with me? Now, we're getting to the place where it's going to get a little nitpicky in our lives. I'm going to ask this. How many of you were traumatized at some point in your past with a hurtful event that left you hurting? Hands. Okay. How many of you have ever had those hurtful past events come back with effects on you now? And I don't think there's one person in this whole auditorium today that's not been impacted in some way by those events, and it is affecting you today. Now, I've prayed for healing for people, physical healing. In fact, last week, I saw healing take place. A gal in our church burnt her finger very seriously with blisters and everything else. Extreme pain, and she's a housekeeper type person for work. And it hurt so bad she couldn't even touch it. We went all the way through the meeting at her house. We had a fellowship group, about 14 people, I think, watching The Chosen and having a combined meal together. It was a great time. And at the end of that, people were starting to drift away, and she cleans our house. And she came up, and I says, let me see your hand. And God said, touch her. Pray for her. I laid my hands on her hand and I started praying. And then I released it in God. And I forgot about it because I just do what God tells me to do. About 20 minutes later, she says, "It's gone." And I said, "What's gone?" She says, "It doesn't hurt anymore." The next day, she stopped by and showed me her finger. There was no blisters and the skin looked like baby skin. Amen? That's our God. It's the same thing, though, in our emotions and inside of us that are tortured and traumatized in the same ways. It really is. Our reactions to that, a person may decide that life is cruel and hard and thus develop anger towards God and others for either causing or allowing something to happen. How many have seen people who are bitter, angry against God or others? Statements like, "I will never forgive them for that." It sits resident. Marriages who are hurting because of trauma or events that happened that left the other person hurt inside. Second way people ask is a person may close themselves off to the rest of life and allow the current problem to so embitter them towards others that they develop a protective cocoon which they won't let people in. And they get up, but they will never have close relationships. Over the years, I've seen so many people that come in for premarital counseling and they're thinking about a divorce. Boy, is this a fact. Their emotions are damaged. There's trauma. The third one. I'll get the hang of this soon. Anger and hurt that is part of one's reaction may be turned inward, and thus an individual will blame and even punish themselves with hurts. And I've seen this reacted where someone was cutting themselves in reaction to trauma that's inside. It just hurts seeing that. One may decide that life does not have any meaning and that there is no God. Giving up on life is one way we see this expressed, and they just go numb through life. Okay. Come on. There we go. Others may see the event that caused the trauma and hurt. It says, "It is not what I had been planned, and it's not what I was asked for, but it's here. And as a believer, I should ask, how can I grow through it? How can God be glorified through this experience?" That is the attitude we need to aim for. And I don't think I have it on the screen here, but there's a scripture that says, all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's hard to hang on to when you see things falling apart or you're going through a devastating, traumatic time in your life, and you see that, and you have to somehow exercise faith in grabbing a hold of that. Says, "God, I don't understand this. You said in your word that all things work together, and right now it doesn't look good." Been there, anybody? Yeah. If you've been living life at all, you're going to hit that as a believer. And here's what I see needs to take place. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Thoughts and what? How many of you ever cop an attitude?
Never.
Never. Yeah, right. And all liars will have their place in the... Oh, I don't get that. Okay. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. It doesn't always feel that way, though, does it? Because God has birthed a new you inside. There's a recreation, a new creation inside. But you know what? there's a whole lot of the old that surrounds that. Old patterns, old pathways, old ways of reacting, old ways of acting that need to be dealt with. And those are all that what we need to do. So what do we have to do? Let's go back to our scripture reference this morning. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. It's like a heaviness. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's your inner side here. That's your thinking, your mind, your way you react, and your emotions. You see, there's all kinds of these old patterns in there, and old type of memories that are coming from the past that have traumatized you that you may not have dealt with. But the effects of them are hitting you even now. I'll give you an illustration. There was a young boy, I think he was sixth grade. He was in a car with his parents. They were coming home from an evening. It was foggy out. The dad turned the car into their long driveway, but there was a ditch that's about this tall that had water in it at the bottom. And as they turned, but they missed the road and hit the ditch, and the car flipped upside down. The boy was in the back seat, and I think he had a seat belt on. And as it flipped over and over and finally came to rest upside down, he was hanging from the seat with his seat belt. Is that a traumatic event? Yes. Let me share what happened. Within a very short time, the boy, in fact, immediately, the boy started having nightmares at night. Couldn't sleep right. Not at all. And as a result of that, all of a sudden his studies, he was a A and B student, he started failing in classes. His relationship with his parents was strained. There was a lot of fights. He couldn't focus on things. And he'd hear him at night waking up trauma, screaming. And they came to me and they say, Pastor, I was kind of the assistant. I was helping another pastor at the time get this church started. Is there anything you know that we can do to help him? They took him to counselors. They weren't doing anything. And I says, yes, I believe God can heal him. Can he? Yes. Can he heal physical things? Yes. Can he heal internal things? Yes. Yes. I says, well, let's pray this week. Next Sunday after church, we'll pray for your son. And we're going to pray a healing prayer for his emotions and what's going on inside and his memory. Jesus said this, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Which tells you what? He's right there. Right? Oh no, I hit the wrong button. That Sunday he came and we got after church, got his parents there. I had another person who could pray really hard, knew how to pray. And I said, we're going to do two things. First of all, I want you, and I says, is it okay if we pray with you? And the boy said, yes. And again, keep in mind, he was hurt. He was traumatized. And I said, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture yourself in the car before the accident happened. Can you see that? He says, yeah. He says, now I want you to go down the road, picture yourself in the car. He says, can you picture that? He says, yeah. I says, now I want you to picture the accident. And he started just shaking all over. Because the memory was what? It was right there. It came up. As that came up to him, the car rolling and everything, and he's hanging upside down. I can give pictures of what's going on. He says, I'm hanging upside down, and you think I'm going to die. I says, open your eyes, look at me. And I said, I want you to do now, that's what happened to you, but I want you to see the reality in the spirit world of what God was doing. And I says, Lord, reveal your presence in his memory and bring healing. And I said, I want you the same position before you get there. It cheers me up. You're driving down the road, picture Jesus in the seat, because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we're driving down the road, and I says, can you picture him? What's he doing? He says, he's got his arm around me. I says, you're coming up on the accident. You're almost there. Okay, the car's going off the road. What's Jesus doing? He's holding on to me tight. I says, that's Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I was encouraging him. I says, now, the car's rolled over and it's come to the stop. What's Jesus doing? He says, he's holding my hand saying, you'll be okay. I says, Lord, make it a reality in his memory now and heal him. You could feel God's power. At that point, I said, open your eyes. How do you feel now? He says, I feel totally at peace. The nightmares went away. He never again had any trauma from it because God healed him with his presence in the memory. Wow. That's the power of Jesus. This is how we fight our battles. So what do we must do to get rid of this, the hurts? Well, first of all, is define the hurt and its source. Many times we're unable to even define the hurt. We feel it's kind of this just generalized feeling of hurting inside. Sometimes we just don't feel right, off, whatever, okay? Unresolved hurts that happened long ago are locked into our memories but continue to cause us pain. It is just like that. Splinter in the hand. So we have to identify those hurts, real hurt, which is actual physical, emotional pain from real life experiences. Sometimes it's perceived hurt. Perceived hurt is that which develops after the fact by the magnification of the pain, by bitterness, rage, anger, and loss. Perceived hurt is usually out of proportion to the actual event. It's distorted. Internalized hurt. This is perceived and real hurt that is allowed to continue inside after the initial hurt and damage the whole person, affect lifestyles, relationships, etc. Internalized. And then we do something. We lock it in a box in back of our memory so we don't have to deal with it. Am I correct? Yes. Annette? Help me with amens here, sister. You know this stuff. You help people. Okay? So we need to define the hurts and its sources. No. Okay. Is it back? Noah? Okay, I need assistance up here. How do you go backwards in this thing? Eric? You got to that. Oh, good. Okay. So, is it going to get there? No. This is why I went back to analog. Okay. Eric, it's still, oh, there it is. Okay. If you want to get past the hurts, you have to ask God to open up those memories to be healed. It means taking the key and unlocking the box where you've locked it up. And many times we can't do that on our own because the key broke off. So we don't ever have to open it again. Am I tracking where we are? Yeah. They're never going to do that. I'm never going to let that happen to me again. Cement. So if you want to get past it, you have to ask God, oh, I didn't touch nothing that time. There. You have to ask God to open up those memories to be healed. Open them up, God. And then four is find a trusted prayer partner during this experience who can bear your burden with you and support you with prayer and care. Bear ye one another's what? Burdens. Now, let's talk about the healing process. Am I there? Good. First on the list, ask God to remove any bitterness. Okay? This is spiritual infection that will poison us. Now, we're told to get rid of the bitterness. It's coming up. Yeah. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, Ephesians. Okay, now that's an important one to have. The scripture we read, Ephesians 4:31. I think I've read that. Yes. Thank the Lord for analog. Are we there? Good. Because unresolved hurts turn into bitterness. You know those little boxes you lock up? If you don't deal with it, that bitterness is going to affect you. Why took the sliver out, but you only got one? Why don't see it? You probably won't. That's where you need God's help to get in there and move beyond where you are. But bitterness is an emotional infection. It really is. I think this is where we are. Is that up? Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now, how many of you have ever found and dealt with, thought you dealt with a hurt from the past that had certain effects? You dealt with it, but it came back again. Okay? It's like when we were first married, we had this little tiny house that was the farmhand's house on my wife's property, family property. It was a little, what? It was a mouse box. It wasn't a very big house. It was like 500 square feet, 600 square feet maybe. Yeah. I mean, you went through the back door. To go to the bathroom, you had to go through the whole house, and it was an old tub in there, an old cast iron tub on legs. The original type, you know? But we were in that house, and I wanted to grow a garden. And so, in the back, behind the house, there was grass about this tall, and there was blackberries. So I started digging it up by hand, because I didn't have a rototiller at the time. I dug up a patch to grow my first garden. And I pulled out those blackberries. I dug them all up, pulled them out, threw them off to the side, and I thought I had them all, right? About midway through the season, guess what came back? They start poking their little leaves up, coming back. And bitterness is just that way. Most of the time, bitterness, you can't seem to get rid of it on your own. So you need outside help. And I like that. It says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grow up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now, why is it there in the first place? Bitterness exists because we have not forgiven someone. Period. Okay? Matthew 6:14. Let's see, where am I here? Oh, this is a good one. Before I get there, if you don't let unresolved anger and bitterness go, involving both the offense and the offender, you will become just like the person you are so angry with. You will become just like the person you expend the most emotional energy on. Now, for you youngins, you just, you ever have someone like that? Okay? And what happened that I saw, I was in Safeway, worked at Safeway in Shelton, Shelton Safeway. I was going to Shelton High School. It was towards my last year, and I worked there as a box boy, and then finally moved up to helper clerk. But they had this one manager. He was a third person manager in the place. And for whatever reason, I got stuck with this guy a lot of times, and he would just chew you out. He never had a good word to say. It was just, and I had to clean up. Part of my job on those nights was to clean up after the butchers in the butcher shop there. Okay? It was ugly. Oh, there was grease on everything. It was just disgusting. And I felt this way. That man did that just because he doesn't like me. And he said, oh, you missed a part here, blah, blah, blah. And he went on and on and on. Just, you couldn't do anything right to please this guy. And I got angry at this guy and really started copying an attitude towards this guy. Anybody ever find someone like that? And I was reading my Bible, and I'd only been a Christian for a year, and as I was reading my Bible, it says, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it as unto the Lord. Okay? And I didn't want to hear that word from the Lord because I didn't like this guy. And I was sure he hated me. And I says, okay, God, your word says it's true. And I'm going to practice it because as you do it, as unto the Lord. So, Lord, I'm going to picture instead of his face when I'm doing it, I'm going to picture your face while I'm doing it because I'm doing it for you. That guy is second. That means I'd have to do my very best because it's for Jesus. About 3 weeks later, this man actually gave me a compliment. He said, hey, that meat shop looks pretty nice. You did a good job. I about had a heart attack. And then he lived out in Shelton, out by Lake Limerick. It was where we lived, is out in that area. And I knew he lived out that way. I always rode my bike around his place because I didn't even want to see him. But he says, would you like to come to a barbecue, afternoon barbecue Saturday? I'm having a few friends over. And I know you lived out there. Would you like to come over to my house and have a barbecue with us? I about had a heart attack. I'm going, okay. And from that point on, he changed. But only because what? I had to get rid of my attitude. I asked God, God forgive me. Get rid of this. Matthew tells us this. Well, maybe I don't have that up there. Well, I'll share Matthew. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's Jesus calling your hearts now and saying, listen, okay? I'm going to give you three letters. L-I-G. L-I-G. And as God reveals certain things in your life and your heart, those three letters better stick in your mind from this point because this is what it says. Oh, come on. Say the three letters. What's the three letters?
L-I-G.
If only thing you get out of this sermon today is those three letters and what they mean, you have jumped at warp one. Seriously. Let it go. For if you don't let it go and the fence go, you'll become just like that person. Now, the next point of this is this. Ask God to remove any fear. Because in trauma, it usually involves something that can hurt you emotionally or physically. And so what we do, What if? And we let sometimes fear to go into our hearts, because fear is a natural response to the prospect of reality of pain. It's natural to fear that which has brought pain to you, but fear displaces faith and will hinder us from moving ahead in our lives. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? So if you got bitterness and you don't want to let it go because of, well, this might happen again, guess what? You'll become just like the person you resent or that hurt you, and you will stagnate in your spiritual walk. You won't move on. It will control you. There's so much scriptures of that. There's all kinds of fear. Does that come up? There. Fear of future hurt, fear of the offender, generalized feeling of fear, unease. What does scripture say? So do not fear. What does it say? Okay. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. Here's another passage. Come on. But now this is what the Lord says, for fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. That was in the first episode of Chosen, by the way. What a touching scene. Jesus quotes the same verse she grew up with, only verse she knew. And it changed. Do not fear. So what we have to do, come on. Invite God's love and presence into your inner being to displace and drive out all feelings of fear. And I love 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Boy, does it ever. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because what? He first loved us. And then this one. Ask God to heal the wounds. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. That's emotional too. It's emotional. And I love this one. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Wow. So can God heal the emotional hurt?
Yes.
Can he take away the pain?
Yes.
And the ongoing hurt?
Yes.
Can he remove and cleanse from bitterness?
Yes.
Yes. So, with that, oops. I am really trying hard here. I think that's the one we just read, so I'm back here. Good. Retool. Okay? Our coping methods that we have in our life will stay there. The coping methods we have to deal with the pain and the hurt and stuff. But if it hasn't cured it before, if you revert back to those old coping methods, what's going to happen? Is the pain going to go away?
No.
No. You understand what I'm saying? If you do the same thing in the same way over and over again and expect different results, you can be called what?
Insane.
Insane. And there's a lot of insane people going around there because they're expecting different results and they're doing the same stuff over and over again, including Christians. God has done a work in us, so we need to retool. How does this happen? We have to exercise your faith and health in the way you respond to others, the way we handle current challenges, and handle current hurts. But I never tried it that way before. This guy's a pain in the, you know where.
Nowhere.
Thank you. They'll never change. He treats me like I'm dirt. Gives me the worst jobs possible in the whole store. What can God do? Changes me and him. Yeah. Ladies, can God change your husbands?
Yes.
Dear, can God change me? Has he changed me at times? Thank you. So we need to retool. But you have to start confessing the health and wholeness in the way you exercise. So in other words, I have to start, even though I not feel it or I don't sense it right away, if I start doing it, God will act. We have to step out in faith. Some of that is let offenders and offenses go. Forgiving others when? That's a tough one for us, isn't it? Because most of the time in our ways of dealing with situations from birth on is if I stay angry at them, treat them bad, that'll get back at them. Best way to get back is to be angry and keep that anger inside, so make sure that they get hurt. And all you do is become just like the other person. You have to change. You need to seek God to remove the anger and replace it with love before it becomes bitterness. That's what we have to do. We need to exercise faith in the midst of life crises, traumas, and hurts. Because those events, now understand me, this is what God is doing in your life to bring about his image in you. Understand that all those events, those hurtful things that happen, is to change you from the inside out. To make you a whole person. Because all those little boxes that you've locked up inside of you, you're hanging on to them. And it's only when you're under pressure that you know that you've got to deal with it again. And you have a choice. And that choice determines where you're going to move on or stay where you are in the hurt, the bitterness, and all the things that are happening, including physical illness. That's mine. Yes, God, I heard that. Okay. This is so much. It calls us to look for God's alternatives to our despair, our hurt, and futility, to trust him. You see, because unless something happens, we'll go on continually where we were. So a crisis is God saying to you, can I be in this situation to remove this and change you into my image? Here's something. Some of you may have had experiences with pastors or churches in the past that were hurtful. Anybody? I have. And I'm the pastor. And you've kept those inside, you haven't let them go, and so when you go to a new church to try to get different, and the same issues come up again and you feel hurt again. Right? Can you see what could possibly be different? Is that God has been trying to change you into his image and you haven't been listening. You get angry, you get hurt. Well, I'm going to go run away. I'm going to take my ties and go away. Has it happened before? You betcha. Does this happen in churches? In this church, it probably has. Now, you have a new pastor and a wife coming to your church. And they're going to have problems just like every human being. They might not meet all your expectations, but if God is the one bringing him here, guess what? You better listen. Because God wants to change you into his image, to the image of Jesus. And if you haven't been listening, you have all these boxes still in your life. God has to somehow open up if he's going to heal you and restore you. And he may just take a pastor that might say the same words somehow and hurt your feelings. And all the bitterness from the past is going to come right up into your thing. You ever have that? I had reflux for years. And that reflux caused problems. It hurt my throat. That's why I made one so tender towards my granddaughter. And it leaves that flavor in your throat, that acid flavor. It's just gross. And it starts burning your throat and actually causing physical damage. So I had a surgery. And I forget the long name it was. What they did is they tied my esophagus, or my stomach, I think it was, around my esophagus, right where the thing was. They did this microsurgery, tied it around so that it would assist the reflux valve to shut down. So the stuff wouldn't come back up. And I was cured. I couldn't believe it. In fact, I ate mashed up pancakes and peaches and whipped cream all ground in the blender for 3 weeks until I could finally eat solid food again. But it stopped it. But I had another reaction, though. I had to change some things in my life. I couldn't eat white rice anymore, just white rice. I had to have like teriyaki sauce or something else on it so I could eat it and would go down and stay down. Otherwise, it would cause my thing to stop off and I couldn't swallow. That's a bad thing. Didn't affect my air breathing, but it affected me getting down. And one day it went for 6 hours. I couldn't eat cooked cabbage and white rice together, which is teriyaki, Japanese teriyaki, and I loved the stuff, but it didn't love me. So I said, I have to have fried rice. So I changed. I stopped eating certain things. And you know what? It hasn't affected me since that happened many years back. And it's the same thing with you. You have to deal with the issue, and it might be difficult. You're going to have to establish a new pattern in your life. Their signal to stop and listen calls us to look for God's alternatives to our despair, hurt, and futility. So when those things come back up, or if you have something and you react wrongly to a situation, you need to ask the question, where's that coming from? Because this, all things in life can demonstrate that nothing in the experience of life will be wasted. Do you believe all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose? Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to change? To let go? To let people go from your judgment? To accept that God may be doing something new? All those are important in our lives if we are going to be the persons God wants us to be. I've quoted it already. Come on. There's our scripture. Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Because I know that all things work together. Now, here's what God is calling us to do, friends. Live in the freedom God has given to you. Stand fast in the freedom God has granted you today. And don't let the old roots of bitterness, trauma, hurts, and fear entangle you once again. That's my translation of Galatians 6:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has set us free, and do not be entangled anymore in the yokes of bondage. Inside. Now, you have the notes in front of you. I want you to do something. How many, do you want to be changed? How many here want to be changed? How many are a little fearful of that change? Come on, be honest, okay? It might be scary. I'm not telling you to go back into a hurtful situation for physical injury. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to let people go and let God deal with them. What's the best way to get back unto them? Oh, yeah. Do good to your enemy. It's like pouring coals upon them, says Proverbs. When I read that, I says, good, maybe it'll burn him. And everything I read in the scripture was helping me, but right now, in this closing time, I want you to do this for the sake of the future of the body of Christ here, for the sake of your marriages, your relationships, for your continued growth in Christ. We're going to stop with a word of prayer and conclude today with this. Eric, would you come up here with your music? First of all, get that to come off of there. Eric, here. Make it stop. I love analog. Now, I want you to picture where you are right now before he starts. I want you to picture, I had this place in when I was in Doty pastoring there. Three river creeks came together in one spot with a little waterfall. It was green all around you. Got down there and you could just hear the water, hear the birds. Presence of a stream over rocks. Can you picture that? It was there at that kind of a point where you could just stop and say, Lord, I give it to you. As I was talking, God has brought up things in your life. Am I right? Maybe they were hurtful, whatever it was. There's a statement that says, this is the first day of the rest of your life right now. To let go. Let it go. Let that person go. And ask God for cleansing. This is serious, friends. Letting it go. I want you to bow. Bow your heads. I want you to picture that place I just described for you. You're down by that, those three creeks coming together. The quiet, the streams. You see light filtered through the trees. A gentle breeze blowing with pine smell in it. And God comes up to you as you're sitting there and says, give it to me. Let it go. Would you do that right now? The box or boxes that God is trying to open today, would you let them go? Give it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, here it is. I don't want this. I don't need this. Pour your healing touch into that memory, that situation. Flow through me with your healing presence, for by your stripes I am healed. Now I want you to picture Jesus with his big hand, lightly placing it on your shoulder, his other one on your head, and you start to feel his presence flow over you. It's like a warm oil, and it's cleansing away every hurt, every disappointment, whatever your box was. And the box is becoming empty as he takes it all out. As you surrender it to her. Jesus, make it a reality right now. Holy Spirit, flow over each person here. In Jesus' name. Lift those burdens, Lord. Bring the comfort. Bring that rest in souls as your word tells us and is a promise. Let these precious ones find rest in our souls today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.